today we're going to start the sugya of Kiddushe Shtar. We already discussed Kiddushe Kesev a little bit. We discussed Kiddushe Bia a little bit. Today we're going to talk about Kiddushin with the Shtar. It's the third form of Kiddushin. We even discussed that which you can't do Kiddushin with, Chalipin. We spent a lot of time on, because that's something the Gemara says you might have had a Hava Amina, that you could do Kiddushin with Chalipin, Kamash Malon, that you can't. But we never actually got to discuss Kiddushe Shtar. So this sugya is Daf Hey Amar Aleph. Let's see the Gemara inside first, and then we'll work from there. The Gemara is broken down into two parts, essentially. First part is just how do we know that there's such a thing as Kiddushe Shtar? And then the Gemara is going to suggest, well, based on the source for Kiddushe Shtar, it would seem that you should be able to get divorced with money. You should be able to use Kesef for divorce, and the Gemara is going to give three explanations as to why it is that one cannot use Kesef for divorce, one may only use Shtar for divorce. So let's see the Gemara. Uminayin shaf b'shtar, from the top, Tafim Ralph. How do I know that you could even be Mekadesh Nisha with the Shtar? So the Gemara says, V'dinu, Oma Kesef she'in motzi machnis, Kesef which cannot be used to divorce a woman, and yet it can be used to marry a woman. Shtar, Shemotzi, a shtar, which apparently is more powerful than Kesef, because a shtar can be used even to divorce a woman, Enodin Shemachlis, all the more so should be able to be used to marry a woman. Meaning what we're saying is that we're trying to learn a Kal V'Chomer over here, that shtar is apparently more powerful than Kesef by virtue of the fact that shtar can work for divorce and Kesef can't, and yet we know that Kesef works for Kiddushin, so shtar should work for Kiddushin as well. Says the Gemara, not a good limud, not a good Kal V'Chomer. Because Mal Kesef Shekein Podin Bo Hekdesh U'Maiser Sheni, Tomer Shtar Shein Podin Bo Hekdesh U'Maiser Sheni, that you can't say that Kesef is less powerful than Shtar, because in fact Kesef can do something that Shtar can't. Kesef can be Poda Hekdesh U'Maiser Sheni. What does it mean to be Poda Hekdesh U'Maiser Sheni? You have something that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash and you want it back. So you give the Beis Hamikdash money, and in exchange for that, they'll give you the item back, and the money will be Kadosh in its place. Or, Maiser Sheni, you take 10% of your produce, you live in a day's travel away from Yerushalayim, and you have large fields with tons and tons of Maiser Sheni, and it's going to be a huge schlep to schlep all of that Maiser Sheni to Yerushalayim, because the halacha is that Maiser Sheni, you're allowed to eat it, but you got to eat it only in Yerushalayim. So it's going to be a huge schlep to schlep it all to Yerushalayim. So you decide, you know, it would be much easier than schlepping it to Yerushalayim. I'll just exchange it for some money, and then I'll take the money to Yerushalayim, and I'll use the money there on food, because then it will be the Maiser Sheni will be Maiser Sheni money rather than Maiser Sheni food, and then I'll use that money for food, because you have to eat Maiser Sheni in Yerushalayim. So you'll go to nice restaurants. Most of the nice restaurants are not in the old city, and that doesn't count. Rechavi is not Yerushalayim, as Rabbi David will say, Rechavi is America, but it does have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't have Kedushas Yerushalayim. So you'd have to go to Burger's Bar or something you ask the native guys where to go, and they'll tell you where to go in the old city, and you'll have to eat that food, use that money to buy that food. Good. So that's what your Kesef can do. But can you use a shtar to be Podeg Shemais Sheni? No. So you see that Kesef is more powerful than shtar, because you see that shtar cannot be poda hegdesh u'maiser sheni. I read this Gemara probably, 10, 20 times without ever thinking about the following question. And it's not even a kasha kind of question. It's just like, what's the Gemara saying kind of question. Like simple, like art school translation kind of question. The Gemara says that money can do things that shtar can't. And therefore, you can't say that shtar is more chomer than money, because money can do things that shtar can't. What can money do that shtar can't? It can be poda hegdish and maiser sheni. What is the possibility of shtar being poda hegdish and maiser sheni? Meaning, how would we envision shtar being, saying money can be poda hegdish and maiser sheni, shtar can't? What does that mean that shtar can't be poda hegdish and maiser sheni? How would you do it? I understand how money would be poda hegdish maiser sheni, because there is a value to the hegdish. There's a value to the maiser sheni. So you evaluate how much is this wheat worth, and the wheat is worth $100. I have to be most of chamish. I have to add 25%. $125. Good. Now that $125 becomes kadosh. The ma'aser sheni is now chulin, and everyone's happy. It's great. I understand how that could happen, and that in fact does work. When we say that shtar can't be podagish ma'aser sheni, it implies that it's a halacha that it can't, not that it's a metzius that it can't. That, you know, there's something you would have thought you could do with shtar to be podagish ma'aser sheni, but the halacha doesn't allow for it. What would you do? How would one even try to be po de hegdash ma'aser sheni with the shtar? The shtar is not worth the amount of money that the shtar is on a piece of paper. It's worth whatever a piece of paper costs. And, you know, truckfuls of wheat are worth a lot more than a piece of paper. So what's the havamina? What's the havamina? That you'd be able to be po de hegdash ma'aser sheni with the shtar? What would you even do? So Rashi comments right away. Says Rashi, "Shtar she'ein poden ba'akdeshos im kasav legizbar." If we're talking about hekdesh now, if you write to the gizbar, you write to the treasurer of the hekdesh. Shtar al ma'os pidyon hekdesh, a shtar on the money that you would be poded the hekdesh with, ein hekdesho padui. The hekdesh is not padui. The hekdesh does not become redeemed. To be in of a nasana kesef ekamlo, because you need to actually give the money. So what does this shtar say, according to Rashi? What are you writing? If you were going to try to be podagdish, what? An amount of money that you are, that you owe, that you will commit to pay. That's what he's assuming. That you figure out how much this hagdish is worth. It's worth $100. You write a shtar, I hereby owe hagdish $125. And you give that shtar to the gizbar, he gets like any shtar chov that says that you owe the money. That's how Rashi understands. That would be the havamina. Kamashma, the Gemara says, no, it doesn't work because dichsiv, the pasuk says, benasana kesef v'kam lo. You need to give kesef. It's not enough. It's not enough to just give a shtar. A person needs to give actual kesef. Good. That is Rashi. Now, that's a great chiddush. How do you understand pidya? What does it mean to be poda something? What are you doing? Something right now belongs to hegdish, and it's very similar to a sale. I'm going to buy it back. Except it's not just about buying in dine mamonis. Things that belong to hegdish have kedusha. They have kedushas hegdish. So I need somewhere for that kedusha to land. Kedusha, I can't just take kedusha off of an item without kedusha landing somewhere. So what do? I give money to Hagdish, and that money is now Kadosh. Zetachaze. It's an exchange. I exchange the Kedusha from the Hagdish onto the money. Can you do that with, let's say, a carbon, with an animal? It has Kedusha, you want to exchange it onto a different animal? So you would think you can, except the Torah says, Lo yachlifen of lo yamira. So there's an Isra in the Torah that you're not allowed to do it. And not only you're not allowed to do it, it doesn't even work. And by it doesn't even work, it means you really lose, because both animals had to be kadosh. So not only did you not take the kadosh off of the animal you wanted to take it off of, but you did give kadosh to the animal you wanted to give it to. But let's say Hagdish just has, they have things, they have a book, they have a computer, they have whatever. They have things that belong to Hagdish. So that's not something that's going to be used as a carbon. It's not an animal that's going to be used as a carbon. So I'm allowed to buy it from Hagdish. I'm allowed to be podit from Hagdish with a zetachazeh, with a havaras kedusha, passing the kedusha from one item to the other, just like I do with my sheni. Do you need a kin? Yeah.
Would you have to then use the kodesh with
whatever you get from that? What do you mean, kodesh?
Like,
right.
So whatever you use with the kesef, would that have to be malbukodesh?
It would have to, that kesef would have to be used for holy matters, for if it belongs to the Beis Hamikdash now.
You're saying holy or equivalent to what it was?
Oh, equivalent to what it was. If there are different levels of kedusha. I think it only works on things that just are mamonu shel hakdush. It's not going to work on things that have kedushas haguf anyway, probably. Things that are going to be used, that, you know, the higher level kedushas aren't subject to this anyway. So you'd have to leave it on the same level. It would end up staying on the same level. Now the pashtus is that when you exchange maaser sheni, let's say, or when you exchange hegdish for money, your podeh, is that a kinyan that you're buying it, or it's just zet hachazet that you're transferring the kedusha, or both? So what would you think? Is it that it's a transaction, ownership? No, it's about ownership, or it's just about moving the kedusha, or is it about both, a change of ownership and the moving of the kedusha? So think about the other example, Maiser Sheni. When you take Maiser Sheni and you say, too much for me to schlep all this Maiser Sheni, let the Maiser Sheni be chal on the money. So what am I doing? Am I doing a transaction? Am I just doing a zetach hazet, that the kedusha will now be transferred without any transaction, or am I doing both? Kedusha is going to be transferred and there's a transaction going on. So what's the raya that it's not a transaction when you're podiyah maaser sheni? What does a transaction involve always? Who are the parties in a transaction? A buyer, a seller, a lokeach, no sein. When you take your own maaser sheni and you're podiyah it, who are the parties in that transaction? It's just you. Yeah, buying, selling it. It's just you. So what are you doing? You're taking that which is yours and has a certain status, and you're transferring that status onto something else. It's not a kinyan. It's not a kinyan in any way. So when it comes to things that have kedushas haguf, like we said, there's no zetach hazeh. Lo yachlifen of lo yamir also. When we talk about things that don't have kedushas haguf, like the hegdish and the maaser sheni, so we're allowed to be machlif, but it's being machlif. It's being machlif. What's the problem over here? What are we trying to derive? What's the whole limud over here? We're trying to derive from here. What's this gemara about? How does it start? Minayin, sha'af b'shtar. We want to know, how does it work? How do we know that you could be Mekadish and Isha with a shtar? What's the name of the parak? Isha? Niknes. Shtar is a form of Kinyan. Kiddushin. Kinyan. Kinyan Ishas. So what do we say? How do I know, a woman, you could be Mekadish and Isha with a shtar? You might think to learn it a Kal V'chomer from Kesef. No, it's a bad Kal V'chomer, because Kesef could be Poda Hagdish and Maaser Sheni, and shtar cannot. What kind of shtar? If we're being consistent, the kind of shtar we should be talking about should be a shtar kinyan. A shtar that affects a transaction, a kinyan. That's what cannot be Poda Hagdish and Maaser Sheni, and therefore the whole limud doesn't work. That's what it should be talking about. But according to Rashi, what are we talking about? We're not talking about a shtar kinyan. We're talking about a shtar hischaivus. You're saying, I am going to pay you in the future. It's not shtar used to affect a transaction. It's a shtar hischaivus. So you're being mechaiv yourself to pay Tagdish X amount of money in the future in order to be poda. And that and the havamina is that you'd be poda right now. Would a shtar eschaivus work for kiddushin? You write. How do you write? What do you write in a shtar for kiddushin? What does it say? You say, give a shtar. Just a blank. Buy parchment paper from the store and just give her a blank piece of paper. What's a shtar kiddushin? Hareyam kadashesli. That's what it says. That's not, I'm going to do something in the future, I'm hereby mechayiv myself in the future. That's right now, here and now. Here's a kinyan. It's all happening here and now. So asks the Rashba on Rashi, how could you bring in a shtar eschaivus into this whole discussion? You're saying, oh, what makes kesef more chamur than shtar is that kesef could be poda hakdash maisa sheni, shtar cannot be. That's what the Gemara says. You know what kind of shtar we're talking about cannot be poda hakdash maisa sheni, shtar is chayvus. That in the future I'll pay you X, Y, and Z. Well, there's never a havamina that that's the subject of our Gemara. Our Gemara is talking about kiddush shtar. It's about a shtar kinyan. We're not talking about a shtar is chayvus. So what's the havamina that a shtar is chayvus is not going to work for Pidyon Hagdish, but one might have thought that it should work for Kiddushin. Of course it doesn't work for Kiddushin. Not only that, the Gemara on Daf Ches, later on, the Gemara on Daf Ches is going to say that, let's say a guy doesn't have the ring ready yet. But he wants to be Mekadish the Isha. He doesn't want to wait. Sometimes when guys get engaged, it's like this. They want to get engaged ready, they want a surprise or whatever. They don't have the ring ready yet. So they give her something else. Some token gift to hold her over. A mashkon. Except what the guy gives the girl is not a mashkon. He cannot ask for her back usually. As soon as, the ring is ready, I'll take the bracelet back or whatever it was that he gave her instead. But the Gemara talks about what if you give a mashkon? Guy says, you know, listen, I'm in medical school and I'm hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt for tuition in medical school. But as you know, I'm going to be a surgeon one day and I'm going to be a darn good one and I'm going to make lots and lots of money and don't worry, I'll have money one day. But right now I don't have any money for Kiddushin. But you know what I do have? Your father bought me this really nice watch. So I'll give you as a mashko. Mekadish you with a mashka. So the Gemara is an expression. Rava says, Rava of Nachman, mana ein kan, mashkon ein kan. That he didn't give her any money in the end of the day, and the mashkon is worthless because you're not giving it to her. You expect the mashkon back. So mana ein kan, mashkon ein kan. You've done nothing. It's not a valid form of kiddushin. So says the Rashba, wouldn't you say the same thing over here? What's the guy giving her? According to Rashi, the shtar that we're talking about is a shtar his chayvus, a shtar that says, in the future I'm going to pay. Well, there's even a havamina such a thing could work for kiddushin. I'm not giving her any money. I'm giving her a promise of money later on. So it's not even the right shtar. Because the shtar that if I wanted to use Kiddush shtar, I should have given her a shtar that says Rei HaMekdash. I didn't do that. It's a shtar that has a promise of money later on. Mana ein kan, shtar ein kan. Just like the Gemara says by the Mashkon. You say the same thing over here, says the Rashba. Mana ein kan, shtar ein kan. What have you given her? You've given her nothing. A lot of goodwill. But not Kiddushin. Again, it's easy to get confused over here because all of this is within a hava amina. That's always confusing. The two most complicated discussions we've had so far this year were all within a hava amina. Tav Gimel Amar Aleph, we had Chalipin. That whole discussion of Chalipin working for Kiddushin, it doesn't work for Kiddushin. But that whole discussion was all within the hava amina. That what were we thinking that Chalipin would work for Kiddushin? And we had that whole big discussion. This is all within a hava amina. The hava amina is that we would learn shtar working for Kiddushin from a kal v'chomer of kesef, that if kesef works, shtar has to work. That's not how we end up learning shtar for Kiddushin. We learn from somewhere else. Kal v'chomer from kesef. And the reason that kal v'chomer doesn't work is because you see that kesef could do things that this shtar cannot do. Which shtar? So Rashi says, you see, kesef can be podag, shemai, sheni, shtar can't. What kind of shtar are we talking about? A shtar? His chayvus. So apparently this whole discussion is about a shtar, his chayvus. But what's the hava mean? Of course a shtar is chayvus doesn't work for Kiddushin. Shtar is chayvus means a shtar that says that I will pay you later on. That's not going to work for Kiddushin. So this is the machlokas, Rashi, and the Rashba. Now, this machlokas rishonim about how to understand what kind of shtar we're even talking about over here extends into to really appreciate what the Rashi was getting at and how to defend Rashi, we need to understand that mamonein kan, mashkonein kan expression that the Gemara is going to have later on in Daf Ches. Yeah. Ah, oh, very good. Okay, so let's take a look. Let's take it slow. So let's take a look. No, what would you think? What's the more obvious choice? Not a shtar is chayvus, a shtar kinyan. That's a shtar that itself is making the kinyan. Not a shtar that says I'm going to pay you later. Right now, we're making a kinyan. Because that's what a shtar kiddushin is. It's a shtar kinyan. See, we're normally used to thinking about shtaros in two categories. Shtar raya and shtar kinyan. But Rashi sort of throws a curveball at us. Like a third kind of shtar. It's not a shtar raya or a shtar kinyan. You know what the difference is between shtar raya and shtar kinyan? It's always good to chazir. What's a shtar raya? I'm selling you a piece of real estate. And you agreed to pay me X amount of money, but you want proof that the transaction went through. You want the deed on the land. You want proof that it went through. How did we do the transaction? Well, you acquired the real estate by being null gadar parat, by building on it, by doing something, I don't know, some other form of kinyan. Or you paid me for it, whatever form of kinyan you did. But why do you want a shtar? Because you want it to be on record, in case I ever come and say, no, it's my land, you don't belong there, that you could have a raya, a proof that it belongs to you. Are you the owner even without a shtar? Yes. You made a kinyan on it, it's yours, the sale was final, everything. What's the whole function of the shtar? In case I ever lie. In case someone tries to cheat you, you'll be able to say, I have a raya, got a shtar. That's a shtar raya. What's a shtar kinyan? Shtar kinyan is when what makes the transaction work is the shtar. You don't give me money to become the owner of the land. You don't go build on the land to become the owner of the land. You know what you do to become the owner of the land? Shtar. We do a shtar, and that's what makes the transaction happen. For example, a man gives a woman a get. Is that a shtar raya or a shtar kinyan? That's a shtar kinyan. Why? Because without the get, they aren't divorced. It's not like they're saying they're divorced and they really are divorced and they just need the get to prove it. The get's not just there as proof. It can be used for that also later on. If she has it, it could prove that she was divorced. But its primary function is to make the divorce. It's a shtar kinyan. This has parallels in the world of Eidos and in the world of Beis Din as well. These two modes, Raya and Kinyan. By Eidos, we don't call it Eidos Raya and Eidos Kinyan, we call it something else. We call it Eidos Lebirra Davar and Eidos Lekiyuma Davar. By the way, what's Eidos Lebirra Davar? So that's the expression that Gemara is later in Kiddushin Samachai. Lo Ivri Sahadi Ela Leshakri. Now you know why you need witnesses? Because people lie. People lie all the time. So you need witnesses to prove what really happened. That would be Eidos, that is a Raya. That's Eidos Lebirra Davar. Just to clarify, what happened? What are the facts? What was the case? So that's Eidim come and verify. But then you have different kinds of Eidim. Eidim that are never called upon to testify. You just need them there to make the transaction work. Where do you have that? Kiddushin. It's not that if a guy quietly, surreptitiously goes and gives his girlfriend a ring when no one's looking and says Aram Kadeshly and she takes it, that they're married, just nobody knows about it, it's a big secret. No, they simply are not married. Because without Eidim, you're not married. It's Eidos Lekiyuma Davar. I get also. You need Eidos Lekiyuma Davar. By Beis Din, we have such a thing also. There are sometimes that Beis Din works to clarify what the halacha is. For example, Reuven says Shimon stole from him, Shimon beat him up, Shimon owes him money, Shimon says, I don't know what you're talking about. So what's Beis Din's role? Clarify the halacha. Find out who owes who what. to be mevarer adavar. But then every once in a while the Beis Din is there not to paskin on anything, not to clarify anything, but you just need a Beis Din there to make it work. For example, in order to do a gerus, you need a Beis Din. Why? Are they there to paskin whether the gerus actually happened or didn't, you know, correctly, or be mevarer whether? No, it's just one of the requirements of gerus that you need their presence in order to make it happen. It doesn't happen without their presence. Could be that that's what the Mishnah begins. You can't be Mosif onto Yerushalayim and onto the Azaros and the Beis HaMikdash. Can't change the borders, you know, redraw the lines without the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Why, they have to paskin? They have to paskin? Yeah, that the city needs to expand. We need it. It's not a psak halacha. I don't know, go to politicians to figure out whether the city needs to expand or not. Would Beis Din be involved? No, because to be Mosif Kedusha, to Kedusha's Yerushalayim, or to Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael, you need the Sanhedrin there. You need them. Not as a psak, not as being mevar or anything. You just need their authority as representatives of the Jewish people to be there. So this idea is how we normally think of shtar. We normally think of shtar as a shtar raya, shtar kinyan, similar to edus lakiyam adavar, edus labir adavar, similar to how a Sanhedrin sometimes works in both ways. But Rashi's throwing a curveball at us. He's saying, forget shtar raya, it's not a proof to anything. It's a shtar eschaivus. That you are saying, I am hereby chayiv, and by virtue of the fact that you are committing a hischaivus, that's enough to be poda hekdish, you would think. That's why I need a pasuk from Nasan Kesef Kamlo that it's not enough to be podagdish. So that's the kind of shtar that could do kiddushin? A shtar is chayvus? No. What's going on, says the Rashba? Shtar kinyin should do kiddushin. Hare amukadeshesli. Beloshim kinyin, beloshim kicha, beloshim kiddushin. That's how you do a kiddushin. What is going on? So in order to understand a little bit of what is going on, it's important to have an appreciation of that sugya on Daf Ches Amud Beis, and what the Gemara means when the Gemara says, Mana ein kan, mashkon ein kan. There is a Ran on Dalet Amud Beis, Bidap Erif, where the Ran quotes a Machlokas Rishonim about how exactly to understand that Gemara. Right on the top of the page, Dalet Amud Beis Bedap Erif, Mana Ein Kan, Mashkon Ein Kan. Says the Ran, there is a machlokas Ramban and Ravid as to what this means, Mamon Ein Kan, Mashkon Ein Kan, Mana Ein Kan, Mashkon Ein Kan. Kosav Ramban Zal, Dalet Amud Beis on the Rif pages, very top of the page, Mana Ein Kan, Mashkon Ein Kan. Kosav Ramban Zal. The afilu echa da amar la kni mashkon ze b'shibud mana v'iskad shilibo u'mashachto einu mukadashas. What's he saying? As follows. Let's say you have a case. Let me give you a little background over here. Can a person create his chayvus by giving a mashkon? Let's say I want to give a mashkon, and by giving the mashkon, I want to say, through this mashkon, I hereby am committing to pay you in the future. I hereby owe you money by virtue of the fact that I'm giving you a mashkon. I want to pay a certain amount of money. So if I just tell you I'm going to pay it, there's no teeth to that. Yeah, there's a din. Hin shalchat tzedek, lav shalchat tzedek, that when a person says yes, it has to mean yes, and when a person says no, it has to mean no, and you're supposed to be honest, and you're supposed to keep your word, but there's no teeth to it. There's nothing compelling me other than my own morality. And that's tricky. Because morality is... people cut corners. There's studies about this. what stops people from cheating more than they actually do? So they've done studies where they say it's not that people only cheat as much as they can get away with. Sometimes people can get away with a lot more cheating than they actually do. And it's not even how much money they can gain from cheating. Sometimes people will cheat for very small amounts. What they find is people cheat as long as they can still look themselves in the mirror and call themselves a good person. People have a need to feel like I'm a decent human being. Most people. So most people will cheat to the point that they can convince themselves that they haven't cheated. You know, they're given a little extra. I saw the answer, but I probably would have figured it out anyway. You know, that kind of cheating. Maybe I would have done it. Yeah, I would have known it. Really, they want to give me this money. It's just, you know, it's a technicality. You know, as long as you can still look yourself in the mirror, people will cheat. But a person is not satisfied. I don't want to trust your morality. I want something with teeth to it. I want something that I can go to Beis Din and show, look, he was mechayev himself. So your word is not enough. Your hint tzedek is not going to be enough. So can you give a mashkon and that will serve as the mechayev? So that's the discussion. Now what can you give? Certainly a kinyan chalipin would work as his chayvus. A shtar would also work as his chayvus. You want to commit and you want it to have teeth to it, you do a kinyan chalipin in front of Edom. Edom will see that you did this kinyan chalipin, you have now become chayv to do what you said you're going to do. You write a shtar, 100% chayv to do what you said you would do. Chalipin works for almost everything. Remember we once had a ketzos where we discussed three things chalipin doesn't work for. When we're on Dav Gimel and Aleph, Chalipin doesn't work for an Eved Ivri. Tosfos pointed out on Dav Gimel. Chalipin doesn't work for Matan Al Manas LaHachzir. And what else? Chalipin doesn't work for Schiris Karka, for renting. Tosfos later in Kiddush Chavat. The Ketzos said, what do those three things have in common? Chalipin only works when it's absolute, when it's a Kinyan Gomel. When you're saying that this is, there's not, I'm not holding anything back. When you buy an Eved Ivri, you don't really own him. You die, it doesn't go to your children, to your Yorshim. So it's not really ownership. Schirus Karka, you don't own the Karka, you're renting it. Matan Al Manas HaHachzir, definitely don't really own it. It's got to go back. It's Al Manas HaHachzir, Al Manas to return it. So Chalipin works whenever there's an absolute kinyan. Does Chalipin work for his chayvus? Absolutely. So says the Ran over here in the name of the Ramban that one can create his chayvus by a mashkon. Just like Chalipin could create his chayvus, just like Shtar could create his chayvus, you want to be mechayev yourself in something? Give a mashkon. Aye, so then why can't you be mekadesh nisha with a mashkon? If it works to be mechayev yourself, why can't you be mekadesh nisha with it? So that's what the Gemara means on Daf Ches. Mana ein kan, mashkon ein kan, which means, even though it creates a ischayvus, you can't be mekadesh nisha with a ischayvus. Ischayvus isn't enough to be mekadesh nisha. You want to be mekadesh nisha? Give her something now! Not, oh, I commit in the future to give you. When I become a big surgeon and I have a lot of money, I commit. No, now! That's how Kiddushin works. He uses the expression, agid gabe. You're holding back. You're keeping something with you. The din is nesina. Menasana, you have to give it to her. Kesef Kiddushin can't remain in the reshus of the Baal. It has to be given to the wife. That's why a mashkon doesn't work. So it turns out what the Ramban is learning, Daf Ches is saying, is sometimes you can have something that creates a valid ischayvus. It's strong enough to create an ischayvus, but it's not strong enough to create Kiddushin. Because Kiddushin needs more than that. That fits very nicely with the Rashba. Why does it fit very nicely with the Rashba? The Rashba says to Rashi, his chayvus, What does Ischaivus do for you over here? Ischaivus doesn't work for Kiddushin. Mana in kan, mashkon in kan. I don't, mashkon also creates Ischaivus. But guess what? It doesn't work for Kiddushin. So yeah, you have a star that creates Ischaivus. That's not enough. You can't be Mekadish Nisha with a promise for the future. You're right, a star is powerful enough to create this Ischaivus to mean that I will really owe this money. But she's not your wife with that, with such a star. Just like a mashkon is good enough to create a schaivus, but she's not your wife when you give her a mashkon. The Rashba and the Ramban align. It'll be easier to understand when you see the flip side. Who disagrees? The Ran quotes from the Ravid that no, the Gemara and Davches, when it says money in kan, mashkon in kan, is not saying that even though a mashkon could create a schaivus, it still doesn't work for kiddushin. That's not what the Gemara is saying. What the Gemara is saying is that a mashkon is not strong enough to create a schaivus. Shtar creates a schaivus. Chalipin creates a schaivus. Mashkon? No, no. Not enough to create a schaivus. You cannot be mechayiv yourself for the future with a mashkon. That's what it means. That's why you can't be Mekadish Nisha. But had you been able to create a Ischaivus, that would be enough to be Mekadish Nisha. What's the problem with the Mashkon? It's not enough to create a Ischaivus. If it were, Kiddushin would happen. But it's not. It just doesn't do it. What about a Shtar? Is a Shtar enough to create a Ischaivus? Yeah, that's a given. Shtar, Chalipin, there's no question. Shtar could create a Ischaivus. Oh, so if a shtar could create a schaivus, then I would think that a shtar could also create kiddushin, that a shtar schaivus could create kiddushin. Because the way the Ravid understands it is that the whole reason a mashkon doesn't create kiddushin is because the mashkon is not strong enough to create the schaivus. So if it's not strong enough to create the schaivus, a male is not going to create kiddushin. But if you were dealing with something that can create a schaivus, it could also create a kiddushin. This line of thinking goes a little bit further. I'll start today, and then tomorrow we'll get into it a little more. Tosfos in Bava Metzia Dafayin Aleph writes that if, let's say, you say Tein Mana LePloni VaKadesh Anilach, even if you weren't following the whole Cheshbon till now, new case. A woman says to a man, instead of giving me the kesef kiddushin, here's what I want you to do. I owe that person money, or I like that person, I want that person to have money. Give it, you know, sometimes people, like rich people, they don't need wedding gifts. So they recommend, give the gift to this charity. So the woman says, Tein manu l'ploni, give the gift to that charity, v'akadesh anilach, and I will become a kudashas to you. So Tosfos understands that is what is actually happening when you break down the mechanics of what's happening over there. The guy is really giving the woman the money, and she's giving it to the charity. It's just they're cutting. She's just saying, I don't need to handle the money. Cut out the middleman. You give it directly. But what's really happening is that he's giving it to her, and she's giving it to the charity, right? And says Tosfos. And that's how a cosigner really works. When you want to borrow $1 million from you want to borrow $1 million from me. So first I tell you, I don't know why you're coming to me for $1 million. But let's say I had it. I had $1 million to lend. And you want to borrow $1 million. Oh, really? What do you do for a living? Student. That's not a living. How much money do you make as a student? Well, nothing. I pay money to be a student. I don't trust that you're going to give me $1 million back. Oh, but, you know, remember when you were in high school, there was this kid in your class, and he always had all the newest things, and he was like, you know, he was that rich kid or whatever. He's your good friend. He's got money coming out of his ears. He's got plenty of money. He'll co-sign. So if I don't get the money from you, I can go to your rich friend that you had, you know, that classmate of yours that was always, treating everyone for lunch or whatever. Okay, I'm comfortable with that. I know where that guy lives. That guy lives in a multi-million dollar mansion. You know, I'm fine. Okay, I trust. That guy's got the money. So how does this transaction work? Is it that I'm lending you the money and you're paying me back the money? And it's just, if you don't have enough to pay me back, then I'll go to that guy? Or is what's really happening over here is that I'm lending that guy the money, that guy's giving it to you because you're the one that needs it, and, you know, if you pay it back, great, but he's really the one that owes me the money. So if you don't pay it back, he's the cosigner, he's the one that really owes me the money. Says Tosfos, that's how it works. I'm lending it to the cosigner. I skip the middleman. Instead of giving it to the cosigner, because I know he just wants to give it to you anyway, I'll give it straight to you. But I'm really lending it to the cosigner, it also says. This is huge nafkaminas la'alacha in terms of ribbis. You have a case, Machna Frayim points out in Simin Yad, you have a case, a guy, a young couple. So they want to buy a house. So they take out a mortgage. They can't buy a house on their own. They want to buy a house in North Woodmere, and the prices are, through the roof now because it became a popular community. So they want to buy a $700,000 house. How much money they have? $20,000. Not enough. So, but don't worry. The parents are very wealthy. The parents will co-sign. So the bank, the bank. Is a non-Jew, lends money with a cosigner, and you pay the bank back with interest. So one second, what it tells us to say. When I lend money and there's a cosigner, I'm really lending it to the cosigner. The cosigner is lending the money to you, and you're paying back the cosigner's loan for him by paying back to the guy, but really what you're paying back is you're paying back to the cosigner. It's like a separate transaction that you have with the cosigner. So when you pay back with interest, who are you really paying the interest to? Not the bank. You're really paying the interest to a cosigner. You're really paying the interest to a cosigner. That's a problem. People do this all the time. It's much better to have parents or in-laws who just give you the money rather than sign as a co-signer. If they sign as a co-signer, you could have rivers problems. Plus, you're also going to have to pay all the money. If they just give you the money, so they're good. What's the connection? We'll see tomorrow. The show we'll discuss tomorrow.